Welcome to the June 15th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20, and the sermon is entitled, A Plea to Move Forward, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Galatians chapter number 4, grab your Bibles and go there. Galatians chapter number 4, as we are working through chapters number 3 and 4, and for if you're joining us for the first time today, these are not the chapters that we run to and preach to by choice. These are chapters that if you preach through books that you just plow through. These I told the congregation that we just were hammering the same nail for about 6 or 7 weeks. And that's not a bad thing. It just sets that foundation that we are believers by faith and not through our works. And that's what Paul is getting to in chapter number 4. And so today, I know that I want to start out by saying this. I've met people over my years that messed up in the eyes of the law. They paid the price for it, and they never go back down that road. That's the way the law is intended to work. When you mess up, you don't do it again, right? And so I've also met people that have messed up in the eyes of the law. They have paid the price, and they continue down the road of making the same mistake over and over and over again. And that's a sad place to be. And so today, whether we look at a young person that cannot learn it is not right to steal, or we look at an older person that can't control an addiction, going back down the road that you shouldn't be on is difficult. And in order to break that cycle, you've got to realize that there is something better, something worth changing, something better worth living for. And I know that is a hard example, but that is the example that Paul is trying to teach the churches of Galatia, that there is freedom from the law, but there is freedom in Jesus Christ. There's freedom in the gospel message. And we're going to talk to that about that freedom in chapter number 5. But he has told those in Galatia that they're in bondage. And so today, you're going to see a direct, heartfelt plea by Paul to those in Galatia to move forward in the freedom of your faith. And so today, I don't know where you may be stuck. It just may be defined as a rut. You may be in a spiritual rut. And those are some hard places to get out of sometimes. You've got to call in friends to help pull you out of that. You've got to pray. You've got to seek the Lord more than you ever to get out of those spiritual ruts. Wherever you are today, how do you move forward? How does this relate to you and your relationship with the Lord and break in the cycle that you may find yourself in spiritually? And so with that, we're going to go to Galatians chapter number 4, starting with verse number 8 this morning. We're going verses 8 through 20, not all at one time. We'll stop at verse 11 first. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Point number one today about a plea to move forward is this. It is decision time. Decision time. Paul, as he is somewhat shocked and in disbelief of where these Galatian Christians are and what is happening in their life, he looks back at a time when they did not know God. And their life proved that they didn't know God. And so they were in bondage. They went and they lived in the world, whatever the world threw at them, that is the way they live. But now things are different because they are known by God. They're known by God. How many of you today can look back at your own personal life and say, there was a time in my life that I did not have or know God? And then God shows up, and then there's a time after you have known God, or God has known you, you're known by God. There should be a drastic change. This morning, I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you're sitting here this morning and say, I can't identify a place or a time when God changed me, God needs to change you. Because we are not all right. We are sinners. We need a Savior. We need our holy God. And so this morning, we see that Paul says that they are known by God. He's referring back to verses 6 and 7 in which we looked at last week, that they are now heirs of God through Christ. They're no longer servants, but sons. And they have a relationship with the living Lord. To be known by God and to know God are two different things. I'm going to say that one more time. To be known by God and to know about God are two different things. There are many good people that know about God. That doesn't mean that God has changed your life. But to be known by God means that you have a deep and personal relationship. You understand the power of God working in your life through that personal relationship, and that you live your life according to His leading upon your life. And so, Paul is speaking to a group of people that he led to the Lord, and he left them, and now those Judaizers have come in, and they have infiltrated the thinking of the people in Galatia. And so now they are being misled. Listen to me, church. All it takes is one person stepping out in their own will, not God's, to mislead a church. All it takes is one person, one Sunday school teacher, one new person that seems like they've got it all together. You put them in the wrong spot in the wrong time, and guess what? The church is going to be led down the wrong road. And so here is the warning to these churches that you are being misled. And so Paul says this, to be known by God is to have that relationship and that communion and knowing one another and knowing God. But how can you turn back to the law? That is Paul's question. How then, knowing Jesus, can you turn back to the bondage of the law? He says this, you observe days, months, times, and years. He's talking to the Old Testament law, that these people were observing Sabbaths and observing feasts and observing pilgrimage, and they turned it into saying, that makes me right with God because I do these things. I'm gonna boil it down to my level, okay? Just because you say I go to church doesn't mean you're saying you're a Christian. Just because you say, I do these things, doesn't mean you're saying, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. So you can sit there and say, I go to church. When somebody says, I go to church, Pastor, here's the first question, what church do you go to? And then my next question is, how is your relationship with Jesus? Because that's the most important thing. Paul says, you're doing all of these things. You're observing the law. You are observing the Sabbaths and the feasts, and you're doing all the right things, but you in turn are now returning to bondage. There are some that use this verse number 10, to say this, that we should not observe any day, any holy days. There should be no celebration of them. They use verse number 10 as their argument that you should not celebrate the holy days. And that's not what this means. Here's what it means. It is the warning to anyone that says that these days are doing these things make you spiritual in God's eyes. So that's the warning. Just because you do these things doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. You have the relationship with God and then you do those things. And so today, Paul is going after those in Galatia. And here's what he says, some strong words. He says this in verse number 11. He says, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Can I translate that for you? Here's what he says. I feel like I've wasted my time on you. I feel like I wasted my time. Have you ever been somewhere and you said, that was a waste of time? You know, I could have watched paint dry and I believe that would have benefited me more. We don't like, if you know Pastor Jeffrey, doesn't like to waste time. But here's what I want you to know. Paul is saying this, I feel like I've wasted my time with you. I could have been preaching somewhere else, or I could have done some other things. I could have ministered for the Lord in some other way. So these are harsh words. So today, he is talking to people that have turned away from Jesus back to the law. And here's Paul's heart. Church, you've wasted my time. When we look at point number one today about being decision time, here's what time it is. Church, we must make a commitment going forward how we will serve the Lord. Look at me, listen to me. We can look back to the good days. And we can even call them glory days. We opened up a time capsule a couple of weeks ago. We look back to some good and glorious days. But going forward, church, will we continue to be faithful looking to Jesus as our leader? Or are we going to depend on what we can do? It's decision time. It's decision time for us. Will we move forward in faith? Because here's what Paul says. We don't have time to waste. There is no time to waste. Look at verses 12 through 16. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Point number two, when making a plea to move forward, Paul looks at the reality of speaking the truth. How many of you like the truth? Raise your hand if you like the truth. How many of you like the truth even when it hurts? Wow. You got to do it. Sometimes we don't like that. Can I tell church people don't like the truth? Is that true? It is. We don't like to be confronted with the truth, because here's what the truth does. It shows people they are wrong. And so what Paul does and has been doing throughout this book is laying out the truth for those that he dearly loves and he cares for. Here's what I want you to know. I may be hard or rough around the edges in some eyes, but I want you to know, I want my two boys to know that I love them. I may be hard around the edges. I may be hard on them, but it's done in love and in truth. Because I don't want them to make the same mistakes I made. I'm going to be honest with you. And that's exactly what Paul is. Remember, Paul was under the law. He lived the law. He taught the law. And so, as he begins verse number 12, he says this, "Be as I am." That may seem arrogant to you. Why would somebody walk up and say, you need to live your life like I'm living my life? Be as I am. Well, here's why Paul says those words. It's not bragging or boastful. He is saying this, I used to live my life by that very same law in what you're turning to. I used to live my life according to the rules. I used to teach it. I gave my life to the law until I met Jesus. And then it all changed. My life changed. And so when he asked these in Galatia to become like he is, it is not arrogant or prideful. It is not saying that he is better than anyone. He is saying this, I was stubborn until I met Jesus too. And Jesus changed my life. It is an urging of the Christians in Galatia to do the exact same thing that he has done. But then in verse number 13, he mentions an infirmity of the flesh. In verse number 14, he mentions a temptation which is in his flesh. There is something going on. And many of you Bible students know Paul ministered with some type of physical ailment. And he addresses it here. There's something going on in my flesh. Now we can speculate what it was. I'm not here to argue or discuss. Here's the reality. We don't know. Some suggest it could be malaria. Some suggest epilepsy. Some suggest an eye disease that he is dealing with, but there is something that hinders him physically. And so he addresses that in verse number 13. He says, you know how through infirmity of my flesh, I've got an issue going on. You know me well enough to know that I'm struggling. I'm dealing with this physical infirmity. But look at the end of verse number 13. What does he do? He says this, I preach the gospel unto you at the first. Paul's not coming to Galatia to say, oh gosh, can y'all help me? I'm hurting. Can y'all take up a collection and give it to me to help me because I'm physically hurting? No, that's not Paul's intention. Paul's intention is not that the people would surround him and help him physically. The intention of Paul in Galatia was this, that he would preach the gospel. He did not want to be physically limited in what he did, but he knew that he dealt with that. But that was not primary. The primary reason of Paul going to the churches of Galatia was to minister to them spiritually. And through this ailment, he was able to do what the Lord intended him to do. In verse number 14, he says this, even in my affliction, you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. And listen, Paul's not saying he's an angel, okay? Let me get you straight. Make sure we're all on the same page here. People are not angels. You got to know that. When you die, you're not going to get your wing. You're not an angel. Okay? People are not angels. Paul is not saying I'm an angel. The word angel translated messenger. He said they received me as a messenger of God. They knew why I was here. I was a man of God. I came to preach the gospel. I came to minister to those in Galatia. But here's what he says. They should have rejected him because he is physically not well. They could have rejected him because he is dealing with this infirmity. They should not have received him. But guess what? They did. And they said, not only did you receive me, you received me as a messenger of God. Look at verse number 14 again. He says this, and my temptation which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Paul was welcomed in to the family and to the church family of Galatia. And he was received, and they could recognize that there was something different and that he was sent from the Lord. Paul, as he moves into this question now, he asked him this, where is your blessedness? Look at verse number 15. Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? So he's saying this, you received me, you didn't have to. You welcomed me in as I preached you the gospel. You accepted me as a messenger of God. Now that I come and write back to you, you've changed. That word blessedness is the same root that you find as you read in Matthew chapter number 5, the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, or blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are they that mourn. You remember those from Matthew chapter 5, right? Here's what Paul is saying. You've lost the blessedness that you received me with at first. What's going on? Look at verse number 15 again. I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. That's why some people think that Paul had an eye issue. You loved me enough, you received me, that you would have took out one of your own eyes and gave it to me. That's how much you loved me, and that's how much you loved the Lord and the message that I brought to you. What has changed? Look at verse number 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul said, you've lost something. You've changed. You are treating me like an enemy simply because I preach the truth. Can I say this? Welcome to ministry. If you preach to tickle ears, you'll have a church full. If you preach to impact hearts and lives, they will disappear. And here's what Paul says. The message has not changed. And you don't like the messenger anymore. Where has the blessedness gone? All because I am speaking truth. All because I tell you the truth. You have abandoned me. Now, the plea to move forward is this. Speaking the truth will cause you to change. Listen to me, church. Let me get your attention real quick. Every time you look in the truth of God, you should ask it to change you, to make you more like Jesus. Allow this book to change your life. Allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit to change your life. But don't lose the work that he's done. And that's what Paul is challenging. You are different. You are changed. You now view me as the enemy because I bring you the truth in love. Now listen to me. I don't think the way to win people to Jesus is to beat them over the head with this book. That's not my style. If I beat you with this book, you will hate this book. Here's what we do need to do. As we open this book together, we realize it's not Jeffrey's word, it's God's word. And there are some hard things that we work through together as the people of God, and we allow those things, those truths, to change us. It's not that we are a cult. It's not that we are a social club. It is we are Christians seeking the truth of God. Let the truth change you. And the truth is Jesus. Amen? Part of moving forward is realizing this. We all have to change. And we only change by allowing the Lord to change our hearts. Look at verses 17 and 18. Paul writes, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. The third point in the plea to move forward is to be aware. The word they points to a group of people, Paul's opponents, if you will, the Jewish leaders. They were trying to have an effect on those in Galatia. And the wording here is one of courting or pursuing them. And so these false teachers pursued those in Galatia not because they loved them, not because they wanted them to grow in the Lord, but because they wanted to convert them back to Judaism. And so they pursued them and they acted like they loved them. They were energetic. They were enthusiastic. But what Paul says this in verse number 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Not for the good thing. He says this, they would exclude you that you might affect them. They want to get you alone. They want to get you to themselves, and then they can indoctrinate you how they wish. Look at me. When you're hung in that spiritual rut, the easiest thing to do is isolate yourself. And I want you to know one of the dangerous, most dangerous place to be as a Christian is isolated and alone. You think that what you're doing is so bad you can't come to church, or what you're doing is so bad God can't love you. That is baloney. That is not true. And so when you're going through these things, what Satan wants to do is isolate you so then he could pounce. How many of you have watched National Geographic? I despise a hyena because I know what they're going to do. The only hyenas I like are the ones in Lion King, okay? They're funny. But I watched a group of hyenas. They see someone that, or an animal that's injured, or an animal that can't make it without the herd. And what do? They surround it. And it's over. And that's what Paul is saying. They're after you. They are pursuing you. They want to exclude you, but they're not going to have a good effect on you. And so today, remember as you leave here, I know that the only thing you're going to get out of Jeffrey's sermon maybe is a bunch of hyenas. But remember, there is one that seeks to destroy, and it's Satan. And one of the greatest tools is to isolate and to separate. Think of a fire. I cooked burgers the other night on the fire. I used charcoal. Yes, I'm old-fashioned in a little bit of ways, but I like that flavor. And all you have to do is remove one coal from the fire, and it will burn out. If you leave the coals lumped together, the heat will continue on and on and on. But you remove the one coal from the group, and it will extinguish. And that is the picture here. Moving forward means that we are aware of what is going on around us, aware of what you are being taught. You need to look at me. How many preachers are going to tell you this? You need to look at me and make sure what I am teaching you lines up with this book. If I teach you something that is not in line with this, you need to let me know. Don't just say, oh, he's a preacher, he knows it, I'm good with it. No. The same thing in your Sunday school classes. When you get those warnings in your friend circle. I had a Bible study at work. I loved it. But here's the reality. People come into that Bible study with all kind of ideas. And you just got to say, that ain't true. That's not true. Here's what the Bible says. Be aware. That is the warning. Don't get separated. Don't think just because I'm in this spiritual rut, I need to go away, or I need to change things, or I need to quit, or I need to stop. No, because you're falling into what the enemy desires for you. There's one more point as we wrap up today. Look at verses 19 and 20. Paul says this, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again, until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." The plea to move forward carries with it a desire to change. And this has been the message. I know it's not been the most flamboyant message, but maybe this will be the message to challenge us today. Here's what Paul says at the end of our selection today. He addresses those in Galatia as who? My little children. That means he has invested his time and his energy. These people in Galatia are like family to him. And as he addresses them as a family and he is speaking to them, he says this, "I travail in birth again." I'm not trying to make light of this, but there are maybe half of the people in this room that have experienced childbirth. My wife gets upset when I tell her I experienced childbirth with her as well. But here's the reality. That is not true, right? I rubbed her arm. I told her I was there, and she looked at me and she said, "Rub another spot." I don't know what it's like to give birth to a child. Paul doesn't know what it's like to give birth to a child, but here's what Paul says. Paul says, I gave you the new birth. I watched you born into Christ. I experienced that. I put in the time. I was with you painfully in those days. And here's what he writes again. I've got to go through that again. I've got to go through the birth pains again because of where you are and how you have been misled. But here is his sole desire, and it is my heart to you today. Look at verse number 19. It is this. It says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." I don't want you to become like you used to be. I want to see Christ being formed in you day by day. Look at me, church. That's not an easy process. If you look at my background, it's not an easy process to be where I am today. I put my mama through the ringer. She wouldn't want to have to go through that again. Look, I know some of you are going through some very hard things, and you have honorably asked the pastor to walk through that with you. Here is my desire. I want to see Christ formed in you. And I want you to see Christ in me. But in order to do that, we've got to change. We can't be who we used to be. We can't let sin lead our life. Yes, you must be born again, but you must go through the pain of becoming like Jesus. That's not easy. Here's my public plea to you today. If you will walk the hard road of becoming like Jesus, I will walk it with you. I want to walk it with you. That in our lives, people see Jesus and not us. So when the marriage gets hard, the easy thing is to give up and to get away. Walk through it with other believers. When the kids go rebellious on you, don't throw in the towel. Bring in those that are prayer warriors. Let them walk with you. These are the pains of Christ being formed in us. There's some of you in this room today that can relate to the pains that you are going through. Paul says this in verse number 20. I desire to be present with you now. My desire is to be with you. Even though I cannot physically be there, I want to help you. But look at verse number 20. It says this. And to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Remember in chapter number 1, Paul says that they left Jesus quickly. In verse number 11 today, in which we read, he says he feels like he wasted his time. In verse number 16, he feels like he has become the enemy. In verse number 19, he is feeling the birth pains again. It's not an easy process, but here's what Paul is saying. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want to guide you, because you're not walking in the freedom that faith in Jesus allows you. And so today, Paul feels eternity is at stake and there's not much time. This is an urgent and eternal issue. I want to be with you. But here's also the second part of verse number 20. I need to change my tone, because I'm being very straightforward and somewhat harsh with you. I desire to be with you so that you will change me and I will help change you. And the Spirit working in our life will change us all to be more like Jesus. What is the plea to move forward? I could have preached this in a couple of words. Let's be more like Jesus. Let Christ be formed in us. That's what Paul says. Let's be more like Jesus. And so I'm looking at a room full of people, and there are people live stream watching. And here's what I'm asking you today, individually, each one of you, what does it take for you to be more like Jesus? Maybe today you need to make a decision. Maybe today it's decision time. You need to make a decision. Maybe today, in order for you to be more like Jesus, you've got to let the truth confront you. And then when the truth confronts you, maybe you desire to change. And so today, what will it take? Look around you. Be aware of the enemy's presence. Now, I don't walk around saying, oh gosh, Satan's at work. Here's what, I walk around knowing every step I take, I've got a bullseye on my back. Be aware. But what does it take for you to be more like Jesus today? Not down the road, not when you get better, not when you get it all straight, when you get it all figured out. Today, what does it take? Christian, that's a direct charge. That's between you and the Lord, and we're going to give him time to work right now. Maybe you're here and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. You can't be like somebody you don't know. And so here's what I'm going to tell you in Paul's language. You need to be born again. You need Jesus in your life. He's the one that took your sin and your punishment and your place on a cruel cross. He paid the punishment for anything that you can do wrong in the sight of God. He shed his blood. He laid in a bar tomb for 3 days, and he rose on the third day to give you a life and a relationship and connection to a holy and living God that only comes through Jesus. Not through anything you can do, only through faith in Jesus. Today, if you need him, you come. Church, the plea to move forward is not just for Galatia, it's for Clifford. And we do that by becoming more like him. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for the blessing of this day. God, I thank you for the opportunity to worship collectively with the people of God. God, I pray, Lord, as only you can, Lord, that you will stir in our spirit, Lord, the areas in which we need to change and conform to the truth. God, I pray, Lord, that you will do that work And Lord, that you will make us more like you today and moving forward. God, I pray, Lord, for that one that needs you as Savior in these moments, that your Holy Spirit will do that work. God, I thank you for your amazing grace. And I thank you, Lord, for a church that desires to hear the truth, even when it's hard and even when it hurts. Oh God, today, meet us here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.